Hello and welcome to Out of the Coal Mine. We're back with you this week. Today, Paul Hammond's with us. Have a little discussion on Bibles and Bible translations. So welcome back, Paul.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good to be back.
All right. So you brought your Bible with you. Which one do you use?
I'm using the ESV.
Oh, you do, for your daily study Bible? And okay. Uh-huh. Is that your preference of translations?
It is, yeah.
Okay, how come?
I would like to have an NASB, but I gave mine away about 30 years ago, so.
They still sell them. I don't know if they, yeah.
Well, they're revised, you might say, updated.
Yes, right, so the old NASB.
I'd like to get a 77 or even a 1905 or whatever that is.
Yep, so what about the revised version? Do you want to stay away from?
Revised Standard Version?
No, you said a revised NASB.
Oh, they've just changed how they deal with the name of God. And, yeah. And some of the, I think the 2020 went back to making sure that when it was in the Greek gender neutral, that that's what they did, rather than what it had been done before. So
okay. So ESV, how long have you been using the ESV? And what does it stand for again for anyone who doesn't know? What?
English Standard
Version. English Standard, yep, English Standard Version.
As opposed to American Standard Version.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And what you prefer it for what reasons, and what did you switch from?
I like the way it reads. Mm-hmm. The NIV is what I had in college, and at that time I was had been brought up King James only, basically. And so when they came out with the New King James Bible, that's what I switched to.
Okay.
And that didn't come out until my last year in college, but before I had to purchase an NIV, but I didn't read it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the ESV, and we've switched to the ESV here at our church, and we did just because of what it is as far as being the closest to the original languages. Yeah, and it reads a little bit choppier, I would say, in my opinion, because of that, but it you know you're getting as close as you can get in English to the Greek and the Hebrew. I end up using the NIV often in study, and I'll present scripture if we do overhead sometimes in NIV. That's what a majority of people use, the 84 anyway.
Well, the NIV was translated for a sixth grade level.
Yeah.
Back when it started. Now it'd probably be more like an eighth grade level.
Interesting. It is easy to read, for sure. And I heard the Psalms, though. I had a professor that would argue that the Psalms and the NIV were translated better than the ESV overall, but the ESV as a whole is a much better, a closer translation, I guess, in that aspect.
Yeah, we're talking about literal word-for-word translations. Like the ASV is probably the closest that we have.
Yeah. How about a Bible like, what, the Living Bible? What would you say?
That's the one a Christian colleague in college gave my wife when she got saved.
Okay, and was that appropriate at that?
Yeah, yeah. She and I in my ignorance, when we got married, you know, I kind of tore into that, and that was stupid.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of killed the joy of.
Well,
what was the word?
You know, it was definitely done without proper understanding.
Yeah,
I didn't really understand about translations at that time, and then when in my studies and later. When I became Reformed, I got exposed to a much broader understanding about translations and how literal word for word. One of the things the NASB does is when there is a word to make the sentence flow and better understood is added to it, it's in italics. So you know instantly that this wasn't in the Greek or the Hebrew.
Yeah.
But to make the sentence structure understandable better, that they put that italicized word in there.
Yeah. Would there be an occasion you'd hand out a paraphrase Bible to somebody as opposed to, like, here's an ESV?
Yeah, I think for young children.
Yeah, or depending on literacy level, I suppose, too. Or
correct.
Yeah. Yep, so I'm not all or nothing Eugene Peterson's translation, his paraphrase. You know, his books are awesome, but as long as you know what you're reading, as far as scripture goes, I think there's a place for it.
Well, the main thing is to get them actually into the Bible
yeah.
and reading it. And Living Bible certainly makes it clear what's being stated, mm-hmm. but there's also theological issues involved in the Living Bible.
Yeah, and Peterson's would have been the Message, right? And that one's, I see that one float through here time or two. And
he's Presbyterian, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, he's another one, too, that has been an encouragement over the years, mm-hmm. Just with his work, you know, and his willingness to minister, to write, and to write well. He's got some good pastoral books.
Yeah.
How about study Bibles? What do you use, or what do you prefer?
They're all over the house.
Yeah. You prefer them all over the house, right?
Yeah.
So there's one to grab when you did it. Right?
There's one in the upstairs. There's one on the first level in one room, and another one on another level.
But do you use different study Bibles, or which one do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But just for reading, yeah, that's the way it is. Like I'm reading the New King James Bible in one room and the ESVs in the other rooms. And I have Ligonier Study Bible, and I have the Crossway Study Bible, which is kind of like carrying around several books at once.
Yeah.
Well, the footnotes are extensive.
Yeah.
And very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a whole variety of study Bibles, too, if anyone listening is looking for what Bible to get, what study Bible to use. I'm going to already cheerlead the ESV Study Bible just because it's faithful in all that it does. Obviously, good notes in the NAV. You brought the Geneva Study Bible today. I haven't really looked through some of those notes.
The new Geneva Study Bible is going clear back to the Reformation start. Tyndale and Wycliffe wrote English translations, but they were severely persecuted for it, and the versions were repressed and even illegal. So the Geneva Study Bible actually came to America before the King James Bible did.
Okay.
Even though King James was 1611.
Mm-hmm. And you grew up in a King James-only home?
No, the church I attended.
The church you attended, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some of the Bible programs on the airwaves were pastors who believed in the King James only.
Yeah, and it's interesting if you get into the history of what manuscript stream they're working from, you know, either depth or length, and where we get our translations from. It's all interesting history.
Well, most King Jamesites are ignorant of the history of the King James Bible because what they have isn't the 1611 King James.
Yes, right.
I forget what, was it in the 18th century or they did a update. Yeah, so that's what they've got.
Okay.
Yeah. So even though they're against new translations, they've got a changed 1611 in their hand.
Point being, on today's podcast, if you're looking for a Bible, there are plenty of good faithful choices out there, and there are many paraphrases out there which function like a commentary, but there are places and spaces for those to be used as well. Well, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to talking to you again soon.